Okay, now we're on. Okay, so we're on Daf Tet Zayin today. All right, everybody, all set. If you remember yesterday, we said that there was a stira between a Mishnah Masechet Midot and a Mishnah in Masechet Tamid. So the Mishnah in Masechet Tamid said that the Lishkat Hatzlayim. Again, there's a chamber in the Beis HaMikdash called Beit HaMoked. Beit HaMoked was like the dormitory for the Kohanim, and there was a fire that was kept there for heating purposes. And the Kohanim would always have to walk barefoot, so they need heat. And the Beit HaMoked itself had four chambers around it. So one of the chambers was the Lishkat HaTloim, the chamber of the lambs. So the Mishnah in Masechet Tamid said the Lishkat HaTloim was in the northwest corner. And then the Mishnah in Masechet Midot said that the Lishkat HaTloim was in the southwest corner. So that's the stira, obviously. So the Gemara says on Tetzayin Amud Aleph, on 16a, around five lines down, so Amar Rav Huna, Man Tana Midot, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So Huna said, who's the Tana who taught Masechet Midot? That's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Mishnah Masechet Tam is looking like the Chachamim. And the Mishnah Masechet Midot follows the Shito to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So now the Gemara is going to prove that the Mishnayot in Masechet Midot, and again, Masechet Midot discusses the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash, and we've had Masechet Midot and Daf Yomi. So if you look, it says, now he's going to prove that a Stam Mishnah in Masechet Midot is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Itnan, with line 6 on Tetzayin Amud Aleph 16a. Itnan, Ezra Nashi Maita Orach Meo Shloshim Lachamish Arocha Meo Shloshim Lachamish. And again, here Yosef Rahmani was just reminding me, but there's a floor plan in the R scroll Gemara, and I know in the Masechet Gemara they also have a floor plan, but if you keep that map or floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash open, I think it would help everybody. So if you have the R scroll, it's this light brown area that I'm holding up right now. Okay. So it says, that the Mishnah says Ezra Nashim, it means like the courtyard, the women's courtyard was 135 amot by 135 amot. Now 135 amot is around 200 feet by 200 feet. Doesn't seem to me like that large an area, frankly, when you're considering, you know, the number of people who would come down there. He says, "Ba'arba lishkot ayu, ba'arba miksoteha," and there were four chambers on the four corners of the. Of the Ezra Nashim. It's a little bit like, you know, if you look here, it shows the Beit HaMoked is number 36. You see in the upper part in the art scroll, number 36 is the Beit HaMoked. And there you see the four chambers that we just discussed a minute ago. And in a similar fashion, the Ezra Nashim, which is number 6, the light brown, also has four chambers on each one of its four corners. What was the purpose of these four chambers? So the southeast corner, which is number 10 on the floor plan in the art scroll, that's called Lishkat HaNazirim, the chamber for the Nazirim, for the people who've undertaken the vow to be a Nazir. There, the Nazirim cook their Korban Shlamim. So at the conclusion of Nazirah, so the Nazir brings a Korban Shlamim. So they would cook it over there. Now, the Korban Shlamim, normally you could eat anywhere in Yerushalayim. But the point is, and we'll see in a minute, they would shave off the hair and throw it underneath. The dud is like the crucible, the cauldron. In other words, the pot that's cooking the korban shlamim, they would throw the hair on the fire. And Rashi brings down the pasuk. It says on the second narrow line of Rashi, that they would throw the hair on the fire, which is underneath the zevach shlamim. So they would do that in that chamber. He says, now when we talk about these chambers, they're open air chambers, no roof on them. He says, Mizrachit Sponi, the northeast chamber, now we have deer ha'etzim, but the Bach takes out the word deer. We're on Ted Zion Amar Aleph, 16a, around 10 lines from the top. 16a, 10 lines from the top. Okay? So he says, Mizrachit Sponi, he had Talishkat ha'etzim. That was the lishka, the chamber for the wood. He says, over there, Kohanim, who are Bali Mumin, if a Kohen had a mum, so he couldn't do avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, but he would stand and he would be in the deworming detail for the wood. He says, Shekol eich sheish botlat pasul gabi mizbeach. Any wood that has a worm in it is possible to use, so they would be the deworming detail. The deworming detail, that's on, you know, the number 11, the northeast corner. Sfonit Maravit, the northwest chamber, he had Lishka HaMitzorayim. Lishka from Mitzorayim. So here the Mishnah doesn't really explain what the Mitzorayim would do there, but if you look in Rashi, helps us out on the fourth narrow line in Rashi, the Rashi says, Lishkan HaMitzorayim, the Farish Papirkin, the Kaman, Shamatzor, and Tovlin, Bishmin, Taratan, Shabayin, Lahachnis, Yidain, Labahonot, Afkish, the Balmi Ba'erev. That is talking about the Mitzorayim who would be going through the Tara process and they'd be on the verge of, you know, of being completely Tahor, and they had to bring Korbanot, so they would immerse themselves in a mikveh in that chamber. In preparation, they're going to walk up the like if you see in the art scroll, it's number 14, the steps leading to Sharin Kanur, and then they would stick their toes and thumbs, and the Kohen would put blood on their ear and their thumb and their toes. So that's what they would do in that lishka. They would immerse themselves there. Then Ma'aravit Romit, here's the key line, the southwest corner. So Amar Reb Lazer ben Yaakov, Shachachti Ma'itam Shemeshet. So Reb Lazer ben Yaakov says, I forgot what that was for. So the fact that he says, I forgot that what it was for, it sounds like he's the one who's talking. He's the one who's the author of the Mishnayot. He's saying, this is A is for A, B is for B, C is for C. And I forgot what D was for. So he says, but then Mishnah continues on, Abba Shaul Omer, Bayu Nonim Yayin B'Shemen. Abba Shaul says, no, in that chamber, it had the oil and the wine, V'yatanikret Lishka Beit Shemanya. It was called Lishka Beit Shemanya. It was the oil and the wine for the Menachot. So anyway, so the point being, again, so we said that the Mishnayot in Masechet Midot were authored by Reb Lazer ben Yaakov, and the Gemara has brought a proof that indeed the Stam Mishnah sounds like it's like Reb Lazer ben Yaakov. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Everybody good? Where'd you get when? What's that again? Repeat. Yeah. It was right. From the all the light brown area from top to bottom, right to left is 135 amo. Right. Okay. All right, so I'm gonna go on. Okay, everybody good? All right, now. All right, so we're two lines above where it gets wide on Tzayin Amud Aleph. Okay? And again, and Gabriel, I mentioned that you have a map with Beis HaMikdash in the front of the volume, so you should refer to it, okay? In the front of the volume. In the front of the volume, you have a map of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? All right. So anyway, let's go further. So two lines before it gets wide. So the Gemara says, Hakina Minasabra, that's logical, Reb Lazer ben Yaakov. So now the Gemara is trying to bring another proof that the Mishnayot and Masechet Midot follow the Tana Reb Lazer ben Yaakov. He says that we learn the Mishnah in Masechet Midot. Now let me put this out the side and then we'll do it inside, all right? So what he's going to say, let's just take a look. Let me get the diagrams out. 1 minute. So if you have the Artful Gemara, if you look on 16A3, you have a series of diagrams on 16A3, if you have the Artful Gemara, if you don't, just listen, okay? So when the Kohen takes there's a machloket whether you need a Kohen Gadol or a regular Kohen to do the Paraduma. Whichever Kohen is preparing the Paraduma, he does the Shechita and he shechs the Paraduma, and the Shechita could actually be in the valley, but then when he goes on top of Parazetim and he sprinkles the blood towards the opening of the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody got it? And you've all been to Eretz Yisrael, you know where Har Zeitim is vis-a-vis the Har Habayit. So he has to see, though, straight through to the Heichal when he does it. He has to be able to see straight through to the Heichal. So if you look at the diagram, what the Gemara is going to adduce, the Gemara is going to say that the Sha'ar, the gates were 20 amot high, and that the gate on the eastern end of the Har Habayit did not have a high wall on top of it. So you see the top diagram on 16A3, you see it says that it's the eastern wall of Temple Mount, and you see the eastern gateway that's 20 amot high, and then on top there's a little block, and that's like wall. So he, the Kohen, his line of sight is marked off by the dotted line. See the dotted line? Everybody should see the dotted line. You see the dotted line. So according to the Mishnah in Masechet Midot, the Mishnah Masechet Midot is going to say that he would look above the wall where the dotted line is and then have a line of sight straight through to the Heichal. A line of sight straight through to the Heichal. So the Gemara is going to prove that that must be like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to the Chachamim, he had a line of sight lower than that. According to the Chachamim, you see the lower picture, he didn't have to look above the wall. He could look through the gate itself and see straight through. And we'll see what the Machloket is all about, okay? But that's basically, he's going to prove from the Mishnayot that the Mishnayot say he would look above the wall and then see straight through. And that has to be like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. That's where we're headed with this whole thing, okay? So we'll do the Mishnah inside, and then we'll repeat again after we're finished, all right? So let's see back inside. So we're on the last narrow line, okay? So he says, how can I start with Reb Elazar ben Yaakov? He did not, because we learned the Mishnah in the second Midos, Kol HaKtalim Shayusham Ayu Gavoyim, that all the walls, these are the walls surrounding Har Habayit, the walls surrounding the Temple Mount. All of Talim, Hayu Gavon, there were high walls. He says, Chut mi Kotel Mizrachi, except for the eastern wall. The eastern wall is the wall that's facing Har HaZeitim. In other words, it's on the opposite side from the Kotel. In other words, he says, Sheba HaKohen HaSarefet HaPara Omeid B'Har HaMishcha. He says, the Kohen who's burning the Paraduma would stand on Har HaMishcha is Har HaZeitim. Mishcha, you know, is like to anoint and Har Zaitim, he says, and then Umechavein, and the Bach has Umechavein, Ruech Neged Pitcho Shel Heichal, Peshat Hazar Adam. He would look above the gate and see straight through to the Heichal. That's what the Mishnah says. Then Utnan, we learn another Mishnah there. This is on the second wide line. Kol Haptachim Shiyusham, Govan Esrimama, Barokvan Esramot. All the gateways in the base of Hamikdash were 20 amot high and 10 amot wide. Okay, so 20 amot high. He says, Utnan, we learn a third Mishnah on the third wide line, Lefnimi Menu Sorei. So now you have the eastern gate and you have your picture there, and then you see the Sorei. The Sorei is this lattice work partition. In other words, so non-Jews are not allowed beyond the Sorei. So the Arsua said, according to Rashi, it sounds like the Soreg was what's on one side, but simple shot, the Soreg is all around. So he says, back in the Gemara, Lefnimi Menu Soreg, Utanan, Lefnimi Menu Hachel Eser Amo. Then interior to that, you have a zone that's called the Hachel, Ten Amo Width. And if you have the picture in front of you, you see what we're talking about. Ustay Mishri Malod Hayusham. So now he's starting. In other words, the Beis HaMikdash is built on a mountain, on the Har Habayit, and it goes up in tiers. It goes up in tiers, like steps. You're on a different floor, a different floor, a different floor. So he's going to trace what is the elevation of the floor of the Heichal. That's where we're headed. We're trying to calculate how high the Heichal rises, and we know that the gate, we said, was 20 amot high. And he's looking above the gate. So we want to figure out the elevation. So he says there's a series of steps, and if you have the diagram, you see the diagram, you see the series of steps. So he says there were 12 steps. You see the 12 steps? So the 12 steps from the ground floor or from the surface of the Har Habayit leading up, he says, Hayusham Rummala Khatsiyamam Shilta Khatsiyamala. Each step is a half amma high and a half amma in depth. So if you have 12 steps and each amma is half an amma high, obviously you go up 6 amma, right? So we're up 6 amma. He says, then he says, again, the fifth wide line, Hamashis Rimalo, Olot Mitofa, Ayordot Miezer, Israel, Ezra, Nashim. So he says there were 15 steps leading from the Ezra's Israel to Ezra's Nashim. So he says, Rum Malachatima, Vishotatima. Those steps were also half an amma in height and half an amma in depth. So again, I went up 6 amot, and now I have 15 steps, right? Going from Ezra's Israel to Ezra's, from Ezra's Israel to Ezra's Nashim. So, see, it's a little tricky. Ezra's Israel, he's like flipping it over. Ezra's Israel is the more interior part. In other words, from the Ezra's Israel to Ezra's Nashim, you're going down 15 steps in essence. Those are the steps that lead to Shareini Kanor, and those are the steps that the Konim. There are 15 Shir Hamalot in Sefer Tehillim, the Song of the Steps. This is where it's from. Shir Hamalot, the Levium would sing those songs on these steps. You have 15 steps. Each step is half an amma in height. So 15 times half is another 7.5 amot, right? So everybody with me? So I had 6 amot plus another 7.5 amot. All right, so now I'm 13.5 amot above where I was before. Everybody good? We're building it up. I'm 13.5 amot. Utsnan, Beina Ulam Bala Mizbeach, Chaf Bein Amot. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, between the Ulam is the antechamber leading into the Heichal, and the Mizbeach is the outer altar with 22 amot. Ushtemis Reimalot Ayusham. And then there were 12 steps, you know, where between the level where the Mizbeach was to where the Heichal was. He says, each one is Rumala Chatsiyama, Vishulcha Chatsiyama, also half amma in height, half amma in depth. So if I have 12 steps, I'm up another 6 amma, right? So, you know, for this, if you look for the moment, look at the bottom diagram on 16A3. Let's stay with the bottom diagram, then we'll switch back to the other one, okay? So again, so I'm starting off. You see on the lower right-hand corner of the diagram, I'm on the floor of the Harabayit. Then I go up 6 amot because I had the 12 steps. Then I had 15 steps. I went up another 7.5 amot. I'm up to 13.5 amot. Then I'm going up another six. So I'm up to 19.5 amot. Everybody got it? 19.5 amot so far, okay? Now keep it in mind, remember the gate was 20 amot in height. And the Kohen, we say, is looking above the gate. Now, we're 6 lines from the bottom, and this is going to be our proof. We're looking at the proof we're looking for. Utnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Mala Haitasham. Now, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, now you can look at the upper diagram. Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says that there was a step between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Kohenim. Let me just make sure. 1 second. Yeah, I got it. He says, right, Ezra's Yisrael, he says, right. So, in other words, if you look on the upper diagram, in other words, first you have the Ezra's Yisrael where Yisraelim could go. In other words, that's the zone that they are free to go in, and otherwise it's on a need-to basis. That's as far as they get to go. If they have some chiyuv to be in the Azar, the base of Mikdash, they could go. Otherwise, that's where they have to stay. And then you have Ezra's Kohenim. So when they got to Ezra's Yisrael, you see in the diagram, he says, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says, Mala Haitasham, there was a step there. He says, V'gavoa Amma, there was one Amma in height. He says, V'duchan Antun Aleha, and there was a platform placed upon the step, V'bo Shlosh Malo Shalchatzi Chatzi Amma. And then, with the platform, there were 3 steps, each 1.5 Amma. But the part that's impacting the floor is that one amma step, the one amma step. So now, if I have the one amma step, so it comes out, every look at the upper diagram on 16A3, if you have it, so it comes out that the floor of the Heichal is 20.5 amot high compared to the surface of the Har Habayit. You went up 20 half amot. So then that makes sense. So back in the Gemara, if you say that the Mishnayot, all the Mishnayot are following the Shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov we know added on that one amot we just saw. So he says, so then I understand that you don't have a clear line of sight through the gate. In other words, if you look, there's no way to look through the gate. In other words, if you look at the diagram, and you see the on the right hand, the right edge of the diagram, there's the broken line. So if you're looking through that broken line, that would be looking through the space of the gate, but there's no way to see the Heichal, because it doesn't go all the way through, because it's the height of the gate is 20 amot, and we said the floor of the Heichal is 20 and a half amot. There's no way to see all the way through. He says, so then the Mishnah makes sense. That's why the Mishnah says he's going to look above the wall, and then he can see all the way through. Then that makes sense. Eli Amri Rabbanan, but if you say that the Mishnah would follow the Shita of the Chachamim, and the Chachamim don't hold from the next Amah, he says, Ha'ika Palga the Amta bin Chasle Pircha Begabeh. So then there would be a way to see it. If it's going like the Chachamim, then it would look like the lower picture on page 1683, and you'd be able to see all the way through. So since the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds is another Amma, and the Mishnah also says that you're going to look above the wall, like in the top picture. So that makes sense. If we say everything's going like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're good, but if it's going like the Chachamim, not. So it's further proof that the Mishnayot and Masechet Midot are following the Tana of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. All right, so any questions, comments, thoughts, what we did so far? Fern, are you okay? Everybody okay? Should I review again?
I just lost it. I thought it was like the Chachamim that we ended up because they were minus.
All right, let me just repeat it again for everybody. Okay?
I'm just really interested in the line of sight.
I'm just going to repeat it ever again for everybody. Let's all focus and we'll go on. So we said that the Mishnayot and Masechet Midot follow the Tana of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It means even if they're anonymously stated, it's following Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And we saw earlier on the daf, we saw that it was giving us the different chambers in the Ezra's Nashim in the woman's courtyard. And then it said the southwest chamber, I forgot what it was. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, I forgot what it was. So it sounds like he's the one who's speaking. So we said the Mishnah and follow him. Then the Gemara brings another proof. So we quoted a series of Mishnayot. The first Mishnah says that when the Kohen is preparing the Paraduma, he's going to be sprinkling the blood towards the opening of the Heichal. And so he's got to see the Heichal from Har HaZeitim. He's got to be able to see through to the Heichal from Har HaZeitim when he's doing it. And that's where he is. So he has to have a line of sight to be able to see all the way through. So the Mishnah says he will look above the wall. All the walls were high walls, but the wall on the eastern side was a low wall, because he has to be able to see through, and he's going to look above the wall. Now, we said the gate is 20 amot high. So if it's a low wall on top of that, let's say it might be 21 or 22 amot, but he's going to look above the wall. So the Gemara proves that that must be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, because according to the Chachamim, he could see through the gate. He doesn't need to look above the wall. In other words, there's no reason why the wall would have to be low. He could look through the gate and see the floor of the Heichal. How so? So again, we said that, again, looking at the top diagram on page 12, 1683, so we said the Har Habayit's on a mountain, so everything is terraced. It's going up, 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 up. So again, in the picture, his line of sight is the dotted line. The Kohen's line of sight is the dotted line. And then the broken line is the line of sight through the gate. So if you see on the picture, the broken line doesn't get through to the floor of the Heichal. It's blocked. But the dotted line does go all the way through. That's the basic idea. So again, so starting on the right side of the page, going to the left side, we said we start off on the ground floor, the floor of the Har Habayit. And then we said there were 12 steps. You know, after the Soreg, there were 12 steps, each step being a half amma in height. So now I went up 6 amma. Then we said that we have 15 steps between the Ezra's Nashim and the Ezra's Yisrael. 15 steps, each one half amma. That's another 15 is another 7.5 amma. So I have 6 and 7.5. 6 and 7.5, that's 13.5 amma. 13.5 amma. Then we said the Tana Reb Elezer ben Yaakov holds that there was another step that was one amma between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Konim. So now we're up to 14.5 amot. Then we said that there's another
12 steps of a half an amma each.
Yeah, right. So 12 more steps leading to the ulam, which is another 6 amot. So now I'm up to 20.5 amot. 20.5 amot. So if I'm looking through the gate on the eastern side, there's no way that I can see through the hay to the hayfal, because the gate is 20 amot high, and the floor of the hayfal is 20.5 amot high. So it makes sense, and the Mishnah says you'll look over the gate. So it makes sense. It's like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. But if I hold like the Chachamim, if you look at the lower picture, they don't hold from that extra step in the, you know, between the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Konim. So it's 19.5 amot, and for them, it's not necessary to look over the gate. You can look through the gate and still see it. Is that okay?
Okay. So the difference between, just based on the two diagrams, there are
20.5 nightmares.
There are two differences. One is the extra amma for that one step, and two is the height of the eastern wall.
Well, the Mishnah says. Well, the fact that the Mishnah says that the wall of walls were high and this wall was lower, so the Kohen would be able to see over it, that we think goes like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. That seems like it goes like Reb Elezer
ben
Yaakov.
So there are two differences. The differences are the height of the wall and the step.
They're both connected. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? All right. So we usually say, one second, it looks like the Gemara has a klal, Mishnah Reb Elezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki, right? The Mishnah of Reb Elezer ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. It's like small amount and very clean. In other words, it's very, very powerful, and the halakha is like him, you're right. Yeah, Lechora, that would be what but we see the Stam Mishnayot are like him in the second Midot. That Lechora would be the way it would go. All right, now, all right, let me just check one thing.
You explained this very well. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, I must say, I don't know if the Chamer Mechulak on the wall on the Eastern Gate, you said about the Tuchi Lukim Fern, so I don't know if the Chamer Mechulak with that then. Where they disagree is whether he looks over the wall or in the gate. I don't know if they disagree about the height of the wall. They may hold that the wall was also a low wall. They hold that you would look through the gate. And that clearly is not like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. That's the key. Okay?
But Rabbeinu Artscroll must think that. Ergo, the differences in the diagrams.
No, because the diagram... Oh, you're right. They did do that. You're right. So, I don't know. All right, you're right. They did do the diagram. They did the bigger... draw a bigger wall. You're right. Okay, so I'm going to move on if everybody's okay. Everybody okay? All right. Now, okay, so the Gemara says, Shvami Nav Reb Elezer ben Yaakov. Okay, so we're two lines for the bottom on Ted Zion Amin Aleph. Rav Ada Bar Ava Amon. Now, Rav Ada Bar Ava, let me see this outside, okay? Rav Ada Bar Ava is going to suggest that maybe the Mishnayot don't necessarily have to be like Reb Elezer ben Yaakov, they could follow the Tana of Reb Yehuda. And one second. Now, he's going to say that the Tana of Reb Yehuda is going to hold. Let me see if I can get a nice picture of you. Okay, one second. So, one minute. Yeah. If you look in the art scroll on page 16B1 in the art scroll, you see the diagram. So he's going to say that the Tana Reb Yehuda holds that the Mizbeach was like blocking the line of sight in the it was like dead center in the Beis HaMikdash. It was in the dead center between north and south. And that therefore, perhaps, Rabbi Abba wants to suggest the Mishnayot don't necessarily have to be like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. They could be following the sheet of the Tana Reb Yehuda. So if that's the case, you don't have a proof that the Stam from there, the Mishnayot are like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. And then the Gemara is going to shlug that up and say that can't be the case. Okay? So let's be back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rav Ada bar Abba Amar Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Ada bar Abba wants to say, you could say the Mishnayot Masechet Midot are really following the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. He says, the Tanya, we learn the Brayis of Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Mamutzav Omeh Be'emtza Azara. The Mizbeach was centered in the middle of the Azara. Now, when it says centered, the main thing is on the north-south axis, centered. In other words, let me see if I have a nice picture for you. All right. But anyway, no, you know what? Let me see.
Diagram A takes care of that.
All right. One minute. Yeah. You know, if you look at the colored floor plan in the beginning of the art scroll, you see how the Mizbeach is not dead center. It's like more pulled, a little bit like the midway point is where it's going. But according to Tana Rebbe Yehuda, the Mizbeach was like blocking. Like being centered with the entranceway of the Heichal. Okay, there's going to be a question: where was the Mizbeach located exactly? Let's see back on the Gemara. The Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mizbeach Mamutza Ba'Omei Be'emtza Azara. It was in the middle of the Azara. U'Shoshim U'Shtayim Amot Hayulo. So it was 32 Amot. Like it's dimension at the base of the Mizbeach. He says, and then turn page on the top line on Titzayim Mizbeach. Esramot Kineged Pidcho Shel Heichal, Achadas Riyamal Tzafon, Achadas Riyamal Darom. Now, it's 32 Amot. Now, again, you have a diagram here. If you look at diagram A, the people who have art scrolls, I think you have it. If you don't have the art scroll, just have to listen. But if you look at diagram A, you see in that diagram, the Mizbeach is like blocking the entranceway to the Heichal. It's like squarely in front of it. Now, we said that the Mizbeach was 32 Amot at its base. So it means 32 Amot is, you see, from the lip, you know, we said the Mizbeach tapers as it gets higher, right? It's tapered. So at its base with the Yisod, so from one end of the Yisod to the other end of the Yisod is 32 Amot. Now, if you look at the Heichal is the inner covered structure. First, you have the ulam, then you have the heichal. The entrance where the heichal is 10 amod in width, but if you look at the walls of the heichal, I mean, the inner space of the heichal is 20 amod, and then the walls on the side are 6 amod. You see that? So they're thick walls. So from one end of the heichal to the other end of the heichal is 32 amod, right? The heichal. So inside it's 20 amot, but then a wall 6 amot or a wall 6 amot. So Rabbi Yehuda holds the Mizbeach was lined up, you know, directly in front of those walls and in front of the Heichal. So it's like a full court block, you know, in any way to the entranceway. So back in the Gemara, he says, Achadash Yitzchak of Rome, Nimsa Mizbeach Mechuvan Keneged Heichal of Kotolav. So it comes out that Mizbeach is lined up perfectly with the Heichal. The Esau, okay, so that's Rav Ada bar Abba, that's his suggestion. So Rav Ada bar Abba wants to suggest when the Tana of the Mishnah and the Masechet Midot says that the Kohen will look above the wall, it's not necessarily that he's following Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, the way we said before, with the one Amma step, the whole Zach. It's that he holds, he's the Tana Reb Yehuda. Tana Reb Yehuda holds, I got the Mizbeach blocking my path. And he has to see above the Mizbeach. So he's going to look above the 20 Amo gate so he can see all the way through. Otherwise, he can't see through. All right, that's his question, or that's his suggestion. And now the Gemara is going to slug it up. Everybody okay so far? All right, any questions? All right, so moving on. Okay, the third line on Tzayin of the Days. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara is going to, the Gemara is going to slug up the suggestion. if you're going to hold that Midot follows the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, Mizbeach Be'emzazara Mimashkachetle. How could that work out that the Mizbeach would be in the middle of Yazara? And now the Gemara is going to prove from another Mishnah in Masechet Midot that the Tana who wrote Midot does not hold that the Mizbeach was in the middle, the way we just said. He says, Vahatnan, we learn in a different Mishnah, Kul HaZara Hayta Orach Mea Ushmona B'Sheva Aroch of Mea Ushloshe V'Chamesh. So he's giving the dimensions of the Azara. 1 second. So again, if you can keep maybe like a bookmark or one finger in that floor, the colored floor map. But so he says that the dimensions of the Azara, here the Azara is the dark brown area, he says were 187 amot in length. In other words, from you know the entrance from the right hand side to the left hand side of the dark brown area was 187 amot. Aroch of Meir Shlushim V'Chamesh with a width of 135 amot. Min Mizrach L'Marav. Now from east to west. Now he's going to. We really need the north south, but he's going to give me the east to west. He's giving the whole Mishnah. So the Mishnah says Min Mizrach L'Marav, going from east to west. Meir Shmona V'Sheva. You get 187 amot. How so? Makom's research Marag LaYisrael Akadas Reyama. So first you have the Ezra Yisrael, which, let me see, is it marked off here? I think 19 is probably, right? Yeah. So if you look in the article colored diagram, that's number 19. That's the Ezra Yisrael. That's where Reyla Yisrael could be free to go in, provided he's Tahor. And, he, you know, if he had a need for, like, some avoda, you know, then he could go more interior, but generally just there. Then Makom Drisa Raglia Konim Achadash Yam. Then where the Ezra Konim was that's number 21. 1 second. Where's the Ezra Yisrael? This is 19. And where's 20? That's not working out so right. I don't like this diagram. I don't know. All right. Anyway, there's a strip. There's 11 amma strip, which is Ezra's Yisrael, followed by another 11 amma strip, which is Ezra's Kohenim. It means all the Kohenim can go there. Even if you're a Kohen who's a Baal Mom and you can never do a Voda, you can walk in the Ezra's Kohenim. Then Mizbeach Shloshim Ushtayim. The Mizbeach had a width of 32 amma that we did. So we've got to keep calculating here. So we have 11 amma and 11 amma is 22.
Then the 54. Mizbeach, you're up to 54.
Okay. He says, Mizbeach Shloshim Ushtayim. Then Ulam Ulam Mizbeach Eshrim Ushtayim. Between the Ulam and Mizbeach is another 22. So we're up to 76, right? He says, Vahechal Me'a Amma. The Hechal was 100 amma. And when it says the Hechal is 100 amma, it means it's 100 amma. From the entranceway to the rear it's in the way, so it's more than you have the ulam, you have the interior part, you have the rooms, 100 amot, and then 11 amot behind, in like where number 59 is behind it.
You're so good. It adds up to 187.
Okay, so that's 187 from east to west. That we're good, but that's not the part we really need. Now here's the part we do need. From north to south, 135 amot. Okay, now with this, let me go to the other diagram for the 135. All right, 1 second, let me take a look. Right, sounds good. Okay, yeah, so let me just make sure. 1 second. Yeah, okay, so we're going to look on, as Yosef was suggesting, on page 16b2, Diagram C. If you look in the art scroll on page 16, diagram C. So now he's tracing the 135 amot from south to north is where he has it, from the bottom to the top. So he says, Hakevish from Mizbeach Shishim Ushtayim. The ramp and the Mizbeach comprise 62 amot. That was 62 amot. The ramp was 32 amot, and the Mizbeach was also 32 amot. But the ramp goes over, in other words, there's a lip at the base of the Mizbeach. So the ramp is like bridging over the lip. So together, there's 62 amo. That is 62 amo. Min Mizbeach v'la taba'ot shlona amo. From Mizbeach to the taba'ot of these rings where they would secure the animals for Shechita, that's 8 Amot. You see 8 Amot.
70. It's 70.
Okay. Now he says, Makoma Taba'ot is stream the Arba. And where the Taba'ot are, and you see the diagram, is another 24 Amot. He says,
94.
92. Okay. From the Taba'ot, the rings to the Shulchanot, they had tables where they would clean and deal with the animals. Is another
98.
Another Arba Amot. Min a Shulchanot l'nanasim Arba. From the Shulchanot to these Nanasim, they call them like dwarf pillars, another 4 Amot. Now, the Mishnah doesn't mention how much the Shulchanot took up, but Rashi takes it based on Pesukim and Yechezkel, another 4 Amot. Okay, so another 4 Amot and so forth.
26.
Okay. Right. He says then min a nanasim l'kotel azara. From these pillars to the Kotel of the Azara, he says Shmona Amot. Now, we don't know how much space the Nanasim took up, and we don't know how much space between the southern wall and the ramp. Those are the two unknowns. Okay? So how many what are you up to with all
114
that?
Without.
114.
114.
You need 21 more. You need 21.
Right. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, so we're 21 Amot short. So it's 135 Amot. And my accountants have it at 114, so we're 21 amot short. Okay, so now Bahamotar, now the remaining 21 amot in a kevesh la kotel umakoma nanasim. That's going to be divided up, we think, equally between the ramp and the kotel. Now there's a mistake, I think, in this diagram we wrote in our scroll. It should be at the bottom 10.5 amot. It should be 10.5 amot. And then 10.5 amot on top. Okay, assuming that. Right. Okay. Now, assuming that's all correct. Now, Isak daikach midot Rabbi Hudahi mizbech ba'emza zara mi mashkachalei haruba demizbech b'darom koi. Now, we just suggested, or Rabada Baraba did, that the Mishnayot followed the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Huda, but the sheet of the Tana Rabbi Huda holds the mizbech is dead center. But we just saw on the Mishnah Masechet Midot. And it doesn't work out that it's dead center, right? Now, it's not so simple with this. I'll come and explain in a minute. So that's the basic proof we want to say. So let me just do a few more lines, then I'll talk. So Elo on the New Zion Al, Elo La Shramina, Riblez Ben Yaakov, Yishramina. Is it not logical that we should conclude that really the Mishnah would follow Reb Lezer ben Yaakov? Okay, let's just summarize and we'll talk some things out a little bit. Okay, now the Gemara Rabbi Baraba suggested maybe the Mishnah and the Masechet Midot are really following the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you didn't have a clear line of sight through the gate because the Mizbeach was blocking in the middle. So therefore, you had to look over the gate. That's what he suggested. And then the Gemara proved that it can't be like Rabbi Huda because the Mishnah in Masechet Midot works out that the Mizbeach was not in the middle. That's the way it's coming out. Now, one difficulty that Rashi points out, you see, here, the way we worked it out, this assumed that the 21 Amot were equally divided. In other words, we had 21 Amot that were not assigned. And so 21 Amot divided by 2 is 10.5 and 10.5. So we assume that they're equally divided between the two unknowns. The one unknown is between the southern wall and the ramp. And the other unknown is how much those nanasim, how much those dwarf pillars, how much space they occupied. So when we divide it equally, that's what we got. Now the problem is that the Gemara later on is going to say that according to Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, the entire Mizbeach was in the southern part of the Azara. So not quite like this diagram. This diagram, a little bit is in the north, right? You see a little bit is in the north. So Rashi helps us out. He says, we'll have to say that those amounts that the unknown amounts are gonna have to be readjusted. The unknown amounts will have to be readjusted. So readjusted will, he says, 1 minute. Yeah. If you see
diagram A.
Okay, I got it. Okay. Now, if you look right like on page 17A1 in diagram A, so there, That's the Mizbeach, the way the Gemara later on is going to say the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov holds. So then we're going to assume that there's only 5.5 amot in the south, and then a larger space in the north. That's where we'll go. So then, but then if that's the case, if I could play around with those figures, so then the whole Raya against Rebbe Yehuda falls apart. Because if I could play around with those 21 amot, then I could play around with it the other way as well and say that the Mizbeach really was dead center and that there's just more than everything else is compressed. So Rashi ends up saying that it would work out, it would have to be too compressed. In other words, you'd have to be left with 3.5 amot for the Shulchanot and the pillars, and that would be too compressed to make it work within the sheath of the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Okay, that's one point. Now, there's another point to take up, and that is, one second. Right. So another point is like this. Let's say I don't hold like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and I don't hold like Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. But the way the Gemara has worked out a Keshbono, so without the later adjustment we just made, is the Mizbeach is blocking the view. The Mizbeach is blocking the view through the gate. In other words, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the floor of the Heichal is higher. There's no way to see it unless you look over the gate. But even according, assuming that the Chachamim would subscribe to the other parts of this, and the floor was lower, but their view would be blocked by the Mizbeach. So how would that work out? So Rashi ends up saying that there is a way to see around it, because the Mizbeach would be tapered, and there's a way to the way otherwise the past the Mizbeach. If you look at diagram D on page 15b3, there's a way to have a line of sight that would work within the sheets of the Chachamim, even if they hold the Mizbeach was where we had just said it would be. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did tonight? Anybody? All right, let me just do a little piece and then that'll be it. I brought a safer with me. I thought I'd have so much extra time, but it's not working out that way. All right, now he quotes here the Gemara on Tetzayin, citing a Mishnah Mido, says the eastern wall of Har Abayit was made considerably lower, as we did already. Then Eri explains, he says, to enable the Kohen to look towards the opening of the Heichal, while sprinkling the blood of the paraduma from atop Parazatim. The Meiri explains that it was not sufficient for the Kohen to sprinkle the blood towards the doorway of the Heichal, but rather he was required to actually look through the doorway and view the inside of the Heichal while he performed the Zrika. So while he's on the Harzatim, he has to actually see through on the floor of the Heichal. Rashi Menachon on Dav Zayin indicates that although the blood of the paraduma was sprinkled from atop Harzatim, the Shechita and the burning was performed at the foot of the mountain. So it comes a little strange. He's shechting the animal at the base of the mountain, like in the valley between the Har Abayit and Har Zaytim. He goes up and he sprinkles the blood from the top of the Har Zaytim, and then the para is burnt at the base. He says, Tosfos notes that the Gemara Zvachim and Kufyud Gimel derives the Shechit of the Paraduma, just like the Zrika must be performed at Petach HaHeichal, opposite the opening of the Heichal. He says, consequently, he asked why the Shechita was not performed on top of the mountain, in the same place as the Zrika. So Tosfos asked in Zvachim, why was the Shechita of the Para not done or required to be done at the top of Har Zaytim, just like the Zrika had to be? It was for the Zrika we said he has to actually see the Heichal. And for the Shechita, Tosfos says the Gemara learns that the Shechita also has to be connected Petach HaHeichal. And so if the Shechita also has to be connected Petach HaHeichal, why does the shechita also not have to be at the top of the har? So in answer, the Brisker Rav suggests that the requisite b'negev petach ha'hekal with regard to zrika is different from that regarding shechita. So you're right, they both have to be b'negev petach ha'hekal, but the requirements are different. With regard to zrika, there's a requirement for the kohen to actually gaze into the hekal while doing the zrika. Therefore, he must stand on top of the mountain so that he can look down over the eastern wall of the Har Abayin into the hekal. In contrast, with regard to the shechita, again, this is from the Al Hadaf, there is no requirement for the shochet to gaze into the hekal. Rather, the halakha requires only that the cow be aligned due east of the Beit HaMikdash so that it stands opposite the entrance of the hekal. Therefore, the shechita may be performed at the foot of Har Zaitim if that location is opposite the hekal, even though one cannot see into the hekal from there. Okay, so it comes out it's basically different then. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, let me end the recording. Let me end the recording. 1 second. Thank you.